Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can you motherfucking believe we are motherfucking back?
Oh my god. Hi guys, and welcome to the first ever episode of Goes Without Saying with Seppi and Wing.
Yay! If you've been here before, then this very much may not feel like the first episode of anything. You'll be welcoming us back with open arms, hopefully. But if you're new here, congratulations, you have somehow stumbled upon Goes Without Motherfucking Saying.
With your pals, Seppi and your pals Wing.
The one and only, the two and only, iconic duo. How are you feeling to be back recording?
I am so terrified. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. Can I tell you guys a secret? We've done this about 5 times.
And we're using the same joke in each take.
But it's going well.
I think it's going well. We're just so, I think once you've had a break from something and you come back, there feels like there's like an immense amount of pressure. But there's actually no pressure. It's just me and you.
It's just us.
We're just rebranding a podcast. It's just a casual thing to do. Everyone's done this before. It's fine.
It feels like there's a lot to pack in to this episode. I feel like we've got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
And also it all kind of links to the social media, managing perceptions, imagined audience kind of buzzwords that have cemented our friendship in this podcast up until this point.
First of all, should we address the rebrand? Should we address the fact that we were once called Higher Priestess? You know and love Higher Priestess. We vomit the word priestess.
People in the back are vomiting. They're really confused. They're putting their Bibles away. They're like, what?
Where? Priest.
This is a priest pod.
It was all about the Lord Almighty God.
You had guests that were priests.
Basically, we despise the word priestess so much.
And now we are your God.
We killed the old God and we made a new one. We made it Seppi and Wing.
It is Seppi and Wing you worship to now. You answer to us and us only.
We do have 10 commandments in our literal book.
God, we do. God, we really took a brand and ran with it. But we're like, I like that thing that guy Jesus did. I like that Moses vibe. Let's run with it.
He seems to have a large following. So let's try and like replicate his business model.
His audience are pretty devoted.
I heard he only had 12, but it seemed like there might be a few more than that. Yes, we're copying Jesus's business model here. Should we say the final nail in the coffin?
Oh, yeah. What's the final nail in the coffin?
The nail in the coffin, really?
Oh, my mail.
Well, so we get a few packages. Yeah, we get packages because we're hashtag influencers slash people just send us random stuff and we love it because everyday Christmas Day.
Everyday Christmas Day is purely the fucking, God, we live and breathe Christianity all of a sudden. The birth of Christ. Fucking hell. I got a parcel that was addressed to the high priests. And I thought,
no.
I've heard enough. I've seen enough. Take these fucking glasses off. Take my contacts out. I've seen enough. I'm signing off.
It has to end at that point.
I'm logging off. I'm going quiet.
When people are confusing us for high priests.
Priests.
I think it's time to rebrand. That's a sign from the Lord Almighty.
Goodness me. And everyone's kind of wandering around the house going, whose is this? Whose parcel is this? Who's ordered something under the name of high priest?
So bad. So bad.
Mortifying. So what brought us to Seppi and Wing, the self-indulgence of using our own kind of friendship nicknames? Why are we running with this? Because we're managing perceptions.
We're managing perceptions here big time. The imagined audience slash actual non-imagined audience, actual real audience of real eyes that stare at us and I go, get away from me.
Somehow the real audience is more terrifying than the imagined audience.
Yeah, it is. And I think this is something we're going to come to with, I mean, I really felt this over our quote unquote break.
It was actually the hardest I've ever worked in my life.
It really was not a break.
It it was kind of the busiest time for us, but a stunning time for you guys to go away. And distance makes the heart grow fonder, you know? Give you a chance to miss us.
Or they're like, who are these people? Oh God, it was those people I used to listen to a few months ago.
Oh, cringe.
Oh, I remember when I was into those weird girls.
Oh, they're those girls in lockdown. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
First of all, if you are hating the new rebrand,
get fucked.
I think people hate a rebrand.
This is free content. I want you all opening your wallets by the end of this fucking episode.
You can Venmo us some stuff if you're in America. I don't know what Venmo is. But I also think people hate a rebrand in that I am threatened by a rebrand. I don't like a rebrand. If an app updates, I'm scared.
The Capricorn in you hates change.
I don't like it. I like things to stay as they are, where I can see them neatly laid out. And if my favourite podcast, I'm assuming we're your favourite podcast, if a podcast we listen to, I'll be generous to you, to your other podcasts.
If we're not your favourite podcast yet, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I hope that changes, sincerely.
Basically, I think people hate a rebrand, but this is a good rebrand, trust me. You don't know what you want yet.
If this is making you uncomfortable, here is a message for you. Take it away.
Now, Harry, I speak directly to you. Yeah. If the rebrand is making you uncomfortable, same. I was scared for the change, but we've got to grow, we've got to move on. We can't be hanging on to a word like priest in a title. No. And if you're one of the people that's going to be like, it's narcissistic to give your own name in a podcast, it's like, we literally speak for an hour a week to you guys. That is the height of narcissism.
I don't know how you didn't think this was narcissistic to begin with, frankly.
I don't know how you didn't think this was centered around us.
Also, everyone begging for merch of a brand called Higher Priestess. You want to walk around town wearing a thing that says something about priests? Please, God, what's going on here?
Please, God, no, don't wear that. Do not wear that around town. If we sold you that merch, we would be scamming you by accident. Do not wear anything with that branding on.
It's over. To be honest, she's cancelled.
Yeah, we cancelled the High Priestess. I'm sorry, we had to do it.
She's out of here.
We've murdered God.
Oh, fucking hell.
And we've replaced it with Seffi and Wynn.
I love it.
And that really goes without saying.
I love it, love it, love it. Honestly goes without saying. Yeah, I mean, the name of the pod kind of does go without saying. Like, listen, there's not much explaining to do there, right?
Well, we got it. Well, I'm going to explain it anyway. Mm-hmm. We got some messages and someone's like, oh my God, I love that you always say goes without saying. It's like, well, that would be a great name for a podcast.
And I had to beg Seffi to like it.
Yeah. And I was like, absolutely not. There's absolutely no way. And then I thought, oh, look, come on, let's change it.
It is great. It's because I kept having conversations with you and I'd be like, oh, it just goes without saying. And I kind of give you a little wink, a wink, wink.
And I'd be like, stop doing that. Stop doing that. It makes me uncomfortable when you wink at me.
How are you feeling now? Are you feeling more like the perception is more accurate? As long as it's well received, which it fucking better be, it's all good from here, right?
If it's badly received, I'm not surprised, because if a podcast I listen to changed their name, I'd be like, what the fuck are they doing?
Really, though?
I think I would. I think I'd be a little bitch about it. I think I'd be like, ew.
Get this stick out of your bum hole. Who put that there?
The priests. The priests put it up there. Actually, that's a bit bad. We'll cut that. So in this episode, we're talking about appearances, managing perceptions, imagined audiences, kind of why do we have this big old act on social media, on dates? Mm-hmm. Why do we just perform? Why is our whole life performance, basically?
Everything's for show.
It's all, we're big fat fakers, guys.
Big fat fucking fakers. And I think most of us have like the immediate reaction to be like, no, I'm very authentic, very authentic myself. I don't care what other people think, blah, 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 blah. But when you're faced with the reality of like an instance where somebody doesn't like you, or when you're pulled up on why you did something, you suddenly realize that your thoughts were not your own and you were putting on a show.
Yeah, and I think I'm still calling myself out on this all the time.
All the fucking time, so much. There was one, so I sneakily put on the story because I didn't want to be like, we're coming back, send us your thoughts on X, Y, and Z. Mm. So I put out a question box, and this was one of my favorite responses that we got about social media, etc., etc. Love the phrasing. So they said, talking about social media, it's an important way I tell a story about myself and my life, and then put in brackets, which this is my favourite bit, the brackets, just kind of putting on an exhibition.
Oh my God, I love it. Suddenly you're a curator.
Yeah, social media, online and offline. Yeah, are you curating an exhibition of kind of the shell of yourself?
I also love that they said, I mean, I fucking would love this, but it's like, tell a story about yourself, because that is, that just strips the idea of identity from it. It removes you from it. You're not trying to represent your whole self. You're just controlling a narrative about yourself. It gives you the power rather than having to be like, right, okay, how do I show this element of myself, blah blah blah, like, is this reflective of me? It's like, no, this is just like like a little avatar that I've created to tell a certain curated story about myself. It's not wholly representative. And like, why did you think I was doing that?
Yeah. And I just think we all completely live for the narrative in the way that I know in a couple of episodes back in the days of She Who Shall Not Be Named, we spoke about, you tell yourself you're not a morning person once, and then all of a sudden it's like you never see an hour before 10:30 every day. It's like you don't know what 7 a.m. looks like anymore.
Yeah, you tell yourself, oh, I'm just not really a creative person, and before you know you're an accountant and all this. It's like, actually, like, you don't really know.
Yeah,
creative's a big fucking space, okay? Like, you're allowed to fit in many spaces.
Yeah,
you don't have to box yourself in.
So if you are new here, if you are new to this podcast, I think a lot of our conversations is about taking back your life and stretching your limbs as far and wide as possible.
Wow, Elastigirl.
And see kind of who you can be. Yeah, fully, don't you think?
Yeah, I love that so much. We were trying to like describe like what we think this is, and I remember I was saying like, not this phrase, like living your best life, because that makes me sick. That makes me so sick. But it's like, how do you say like challenging your thought processes without being boring? And how do you say like living your best life without being like a millennial? Like, how do you, like, what is the thing? I do think stretching your limbs, becoming Elastigirl, is stunning.
Yeah, because it's just kind of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and questioning yourself while you do it. I just think a lot of us tell these stories about ourselves that actually don't allow us to move past kind of what we were subscribed to and kind of indoctrinated in as a child. Because I think as well, something that I was thinking a lot about and I want to ask you is being told to introduce yourself.
Oh wow, I love that.
To me, I find it really, really challenging. And I actually reckon a lot of you listening will be like, oh no, it's fine, whatever. If you are in an institution, like you're at university, or like you've kind of been in your job for a few years, it might be quite easy. But if you move beyond the scope of what security and institution gives you and think about what's important to you, what are the pillars of your life, and what do you prioritize when introducing yourself to a new person, what are you trying to present, and how much of that is a performance and how much of that is your own kind of self-hatred of minimizing yourself? Like, what do you amplify and what do you minimize, and what's the kind of dichotomy between those?
It's interesting that we would always prioritize like a capitalist view though, because you would always go for your work.
Absolutely. I'm the accountant from earlier that told myself I wasn't creative.
But you would never go, oh yeah, I'm a daughter, even though my role as a daughter is much more important than my role as whatever fucking job I would do.
Yeah, my role at Gladstone Brooks. Like, I don't think that's an account, I don't know what that is, but yeah.
Yeah, it sounds horrible, whatever it is. I don't want to go there. Don't take me to Gladstone Brooks, please.
I think it's like fucking, oh, I don't know.
So please, anywhere but Gladstone Brooks, whatever that is.
Yeah, honestly.
But it's like my role as kind of a sister, my role as a friend, my role as whatever is way more important.
Your role as Sethi.
Yeah, is more important than my work. But then why does that shape my identity in such a solid way that other people would be interested in? Like, you're at a party. Oh yeah, what do you do? Oh, I'm a this. It's like, no, you're fucking not. Get out your ass.
Yeah, but is anyone actually interested? Or is it just the social norm that those are the things that we ask and those are the things that we tell because it's just what's expected of you?
I think it depends. I've been in a group quite recently, not recently, because I've been in the literal middle of nowhere in Portugal for about a month and a half now, so not recently.
Yeah, we're lucky we can communicate with her via this transmission today, because the broadcast has not been secure.
And trust me, it's hard. Yeah, I was in a group and there were a group of people and they were all like really into their jobs and like asking what jobs everyone did. I remember being like, oh yeah, I'm a podcaster, which doesn't really sum up what we do anyway, but it's just like, okay, it's a neat box to put that in. And they were like, oh, okay. And they just suddenly became very interested. Whereas if I had said,
I'm the accountant from Gladstone Brooks. I don't know how you could be an accountant at Gladstone Brooks. It's definitely not an accounting firm.
It sounds like it's like an estate agent.
I think it is, something like that. It's kind of McDonald's. I'm like, I'm the accountant at McDonald's. It's like not compatible.
I'm the one accountant.
It's like, I'm the painter at the library. It's like, no. I've got the wrong end of the stick. It's like, you're definitely lying.
It like makes no sense. But you can definitely see people's interest flip, or how much they decide in their head how much they should invest in you based on where you fit within capitalism on that chain, which is rank, where it's actually like, oh yeah, I'm actually a really good person. Oh wow, brilliant, like, let me speak to you.
Yeah, and how useful are you? And social media, I think, takes that moment where you're at a party talking to someone, or at a social event talking to someone, and you can see them scouring the room to see if there's someone more useful to them.
And you put it in your bio.
Yeah, and suddenly that's happening just on a digital scale.
Constantly, and you're so aware of how your little avatar is like performing, like how that is being perceived by everyone. And it's fucking horrendous. And you're constantly trying to curate a post that will align with your avatar's kind of goals. And as we've discussed so many times before, your goals are not your own. Your goals were prescribed to you before your birth.
Yeah.
Like, they were designed for you by society.
Yeah. How often as a child, when you were saying you wanted to be a vet, did you step away and think about where your love and appreciation of animals came from, or what that means for a young girl to desire to be nurturing and a caretaker for other vulnerable beings, etc., etc., and.
Well, it's where you see people when they kind of said age 7, when you kind of knew them as a 7-year-old, yeah, I want to be a nurse, and then they become a nurse.
And they fucking ran with it.
Yeah, and it's sold to them as like, oh my God, you always knew what you wanted. Like, that's so brilliant that you've pursued your childhood dreams. But to me, that kind of suggests a lack of growth, a lack of kind of insight into like the scope of the world. And I mean, sure, you could have wanted to be a nurse at 7, and it just so happens you want to be a nurse at 25.
Round of applause to all our nurses listening, by the way.
Hey, nurses. And also, that's fucking cool.
Miss those Thursday nights.
And I think that's fucking cool. Like, it is cool. But there is an element of, when you applied, did you question that? Or was it just assumed that you would apply to be a nurse or whatever? And I definitely have an element of that within myself as well, like, for sure.
Absolutely. We all do it in our own way. Just subscribe to the narrative that we were sold and have been continued to sell. And that feeds into like a larger scale of, you are a woman, so you should be this.
Yeah.
Or even down to that smaller scale of, you're not creative, be an accountant.
It's so true.
Also, the thing I love about exhibition, it's very visceral. It's very like tangible. I can kind of see myself walking through your exhibition, kind of picking through your clothes.
It kind of reminds me of, there's this bit in The Office where like Pam tells them all to have New Year's resolutions, and Ryan, who's like a bit of an arsehole, if you know The Office.
I know the one, yeah.
Not I know you, I'm just explaining for the listener. He puts up like, live my life like it's an art project, and it's like seen as so wanky, but it's like, there is an element of that coming back on TikTok of like, you're the main character and all of that. It's like, live your life like it's an art show. And I love it.
Absolutely. Romanticize your life.
Obviously you don't want to be Ryan from The Office, but there is an element of like, God, I want to live my art life like it's an art project. That's stunning.
Yeah, there's a fine line, some may say. A Harry Styles fine line to it.
Yeah.
But what is the line? Who knows? To be honest, no one seems to fucking know.
No, because you can either think your life is shit or you can romanticize your life. And which one do you choose? And of course, you want to be somewhere on the sliding scale, but I would rather be closer to romanticizing my life, personally.
Absolutely. On the exhibition note, what do you think is like most common to make an exhibition out of, like in dating?
In dating, I think it's different for men and women. In that, I think with men, as in not dating men, I think it's just a gendered debate, not from my own personal experience. Well, from my personal experience as well. But I think for men, there's definitely an element of like a money performance, being the macho man that can afford to pay and that can afford to...
In 2020.
Yeah, like we were speaking in the last episode about how sometimes men can have like a bit of like a James Bond act on. And I think that is something that...
It's fucking sickening to say the least, but yeah.
Fucking makes me feel ill. But I think with girls, it's obviously a performative femininity, like an idea that you will be most beautiful, most kind of passive, and also very cool and laid back and kind of up for anything and just ever so beautiful and flawlessly effortless.
Are we going to speak about it again? The gone girl, cool girl.
The best monologue of all time.
I don't even think we have to go into it in that much detail, but if you aren't familiar with the cool girl reference, go YouTube it.
So stunning.
Stunning. It so reminds me of actually this message that we got from someone. They said, I hate myself for trying to act different.
Yes, I love
to
this.
Other females. So performative and gross. It's kind of the girl who smashed her face in a pizza. I'm not like other girls on the first date or whatever. It's kind of, you can't help but lean into that rejection of your
own gender.
Your family. Yeah,
yeah, literally. Well, there's an element of like, well, we've watched movies throughout our whole life. We've read books where the manic pixie dream girl is held on this pedestal of like the most amazing girl, the most attractive woman to men is the woman that is unlike other women and rejects mainstream mm-hmm. femininity, but also complies.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very, you've got to be walking that tightrope very carefully.
The fine line.
In that you've got to be very, very beautiful, but you might have like a blue streak in your hair. You eat a load of food, but you're very thin. I also think this in the, you know, in Greece, we love the film Greece.
Yeah, we're about 85 years old.
We're 85. We reference Greece a hell of a lot. I don't think we've actually done that on the podcast, thank God, because it's embarrassing. But I'm about to reference Greece, but it will make sense.
Warning, outdated reference coming.
Warning, reference that your grandma will understand. So maybe just play her this clip. Hey, Nana.
Sorry about the things we said about God.
The scene where Danny Zuko and Sandy, whatever, are surname is, are in the diner.
Cup of goals.
He orders a burger and he orders a milkshake and some fries or something. He orders a lot. And Sandy goes, oh, that sounds good. I'll have that too. Or whatever. She like gets, she matches the order.
Fucking hell. Yeah, she does. And he loves it.
He loves it.
He eats it up harder than he eats his burger.
He goes, really? Or something like that.
He can't believe his luck. His dick points up and bashes the table up. All the food falls everywhere.
And he loves it. He literally eats that up. He's like, oh my God, she's not like other girls. She can eat all this. But very crucially, she still looks like a girl that does not eat. She still looks like Olivia Newton-John.
She looks like she just walked straight out of the Bible, frankly. In the most stunning way, obviously.
Is this the New Testament? Is Sephiroth and Wynn our new era? It's our New Testament. I don't know what's going on. But there's an element of women can only be cool if they both reject and comply with femininity in like a whiteness, a thinness, and like a beauty, but also again with a blue streak in your hair.
Yeah, very porny.
Yeah, totally.
And I kind of hate the like smugness that comes with it, where it's kind of it's kind of a Foucault thing. It's kind of what
king
I'm giving. Yeah, queer king, queer icon. I'm giving somebody else that isn't I'm not giving the most conventionally attractive girl the limelight. I'm giving it to somebody else. You know, we're doing the most. Yeah. We're being so equal. It's, you know, it's all about, it's all PC these days. It's like, actually,
she's got a black best friend. It's like, what is this?
It's getting worse. Yeah. It's just as harmful.
Yeah. But I think there definitely is, I mean, I've definitely felt that, a kind of a desire to be not like other girls, or definitely present a not like other girls energy of like a manic pixie dream girl, of like, that will be, that's what boys want, of like a girl that's slightly kooky, like a Zooey Deschanel figure. Yeah, that's brilliant. I'll just perform that for you, shall I? So I don't think you should blame yourself.
No, never. Oh, that's kind of the biggest message I hope from this pod, is just please don't blame yourself. Blame anyone but yourself. That's what we do. Blame us if you want.
Genuinely.
This is not your fault. But it's just the classic thing of pick me. Mm-hmm. It's just the pick me vibes. But they'll be declaring the whole time, I don't care what boys think of me. But it's like, okay, but I'm sure you don't. I'm sure that's what you think. But if you took a step back and stretched your limbs, you could see for a second, if you looked outside yourself for just a sec, you could see that this whole narrative was, again, sold to you as a mere child. And you ate it up like Olivia Newton-John with her milkshake.
Yeah. And before you were even born, before you literally came out of the womb, it was predestined that you would desire the things that you desire, that you would want to be a size six, that you would kind of put this weird shit all over your face, like kind of some weird fucking mascara. Like, that was already designed for you to buy before you were born. Like, of course you want that. It's nothing to do with you, the fact you do it. You're literally complying, and it's rank. What are we doing? Why am I sitting here with shit all over my face?
Because everyone else is capitalizing off of your own insecurities
or your own desire to be like everyone else, but also do it slightly differently.
Oh, it is bleak.
It's so bleak. Do everything the same as everyone else, but just put your own spin on it and feel like a bit unique, so the boys love you.
This is something that I think is fascinating. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Be yourself. There's only one you. Everyone else is taken.
You're unique. You're special. No, you're not.
It's like, but everyone hates you when you're unique. No wonder we don't want to be ourselves. There's no reward.
I also just think with that, the idea that we're all individuals and we all have our own goals and our own autonomy and all of this stuff, and we're all our individuals. If you zoom out, okay, I'm gonna get a bit natural history museum. Like when I said that dinosaurs don't have soulmates, I got it.
Nothing's changed here.
It all has.
We're back in the pilot season.
If you zoom out of planet Earth, and all of these people that are like, okay, so I put a blue streak in my hair, which makes me unique, like that makes me a manic pixie dream girl, like all the boys love me, I'm Zooey Deschanel. You zoom out, planet Earth and the human race and all the animals and all the plants on planet Earth is a bit of like sand on something. It's like nothing. It's like the idea that you genuinely think you're an individual that's unique. You've got the fucking, like, you've got some star quality or whatever. It's like, you're mad. You're mad.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're nothing.
Yeah, literally, because it's like you and whose army? It's you and all of the other kind of millions of white girls, all of the other millions of cis girls, all of the other millions of people with brown hair, all of the other millions of people who went to a certain type of school and et cetera, and had this upbringing from this class and this race and this gender. There are lots of things that if you were going to introduce yourself, you could lay it out and you would be very much a statistic. Don't feel bad about having things predestined for you. You could be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but you're not, because you're engaging with us. It's incredible content, but it's true.
That's the pressure to be an individual with your own autonomy and all of this stuff and stand out from the crowd. Or
how could you be an individual? Well, there's like 10 billion individuals, is there?
But it's unnecessary. Yeah,
that's a bit nuts. What a coincidence. That's kind of, what's it called, statistical conjunction or something. It's like that. How is that possible? I don't think that's right, but
it sounds good though.
Yeah, well, my philosophy,
statistical conjunction, let's go with it.
Yeah, my philosophy days are over. I'm pretty sure that means that's not it. That's like when you keep going back and back and back and back and back. It kind of brings us back to the God talk, which I think I'm trying to get away from.
So one of the polls that I wanted to speak about was, we did this kind of sneakily a few days before because we really, again, didn't want you to know that we were coming back, even though everyone fucking knew we were coming back.
Because I couldn't resist being like, are you missing us? Do you love us? Do you want us to come back?
Yeah, I wanted to know. Every 2 seconds, I'm like,
we're kind of following you around, pulling on your jeans, like, come back to us. Tell me you like me.
It's like, do you miss us? Everyone's like, not really, no. Doing quite all right without you, thanks.
Didn't really notice you were gone, actually.
So the question was, are looks important to find somebody attractive? And 74% of you said yes. And that was literally hundreds of you said yes. And to be honest, hundreds of you said no. But 74% of you said yes. And I'm fucking glad you were all honest, because I would have had some bones to pick if you'd all said, no, looks are nothing. Like, I just go for personality. No, you don't. No, you do not.
Yeah.
And I used to be one of the bitches that said, oh yeah, I think I just like personality more. It's like, no. Do you like them because they're funny? Or are they funny because you like them?
Stunning.
They're funny because you find them hot. They align with that look in the same way that Seth Rogen, your crush, your old crush.
Fuck. I'm being torn apart.
He's not hot. He's not an objectively hot person.
My king.
He's not objectively hot, but his personality aligns with a way. So you could be like, oh yeah, I only go for personality. Like, I like Seth Rogen. I only go for personality. It's like, no. He aligns with that look.
Yeah, but it's like, I go for kind of scraggly white boys, like big stoner vibe, hilarious vibe. It's not all that dissimilar to my general type.
Yeah, his look aligns with an element that is socially acceptable.
It's kind of, if my boyfriend was famous, he would be Seth Rogen.
So what do you think? Do you agree with the people in the poll? You think that looks are important?
I think looks are everything, in the way that I agree beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but also there are societal constructs that inform you what beauty you should be beholding in that very eye.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of think we are so visual. I mean, I don't even like listening to podcasts because I need something. I want something to look at. I'm visual. I'm a visual being. And I just think we consume so much.
That's why our podcast art is so amazing.
We consume so much in that way that I just think, how could romance and sex not be informed by that too?
Totally.
Kind of, you don't wear clothes that you you think are ugly, or maybe you do, but you don't wear clothes that you think don't go with your vibe. You don't kind of partake visually. You wouldn't buy something if you didn't like the way it looked. So you wouldn't spend your time romantically with someone. You wouldn't be able to have sex with someone and enjoy it, at least, if you weren't finding them attractive in some way. A lot of that comes down to the visual.
It's kind of the whole, the classic, don't judge a book by its cover argument, where people are like, oh no, I go for personality, don't judge a book by its cover. It's like, no, but the cover is important. That's why you pick it up. Yeah, sure, the contents of the book are the main meat of the person, or the meat of the sort of story or whatever. And yeah, you do want your person to not just be like a beautiful person that you look within. I mean, online dating is the perfect example because it is so visual based, or like based in kind of aesthetics. But even at a party or something, when you're looking around the room, everyone there may have a great inside of their book, a great internal reality that you could find out about. Oh my God, I love their personality or whatever. But the only reason you actually start speaking to these people and actually give them the shot to find out is if they, to some extent, match what you are looking for aesthetically.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's sad. It's a sad reality.
Yeah, but is it? Is it kind of just common sense?
Well, it probably comes back down to like
genetic... It's biological, yeah.
Yeah, your genetics are that you are looking for the best mate, so your children have the best shot in life. You also don't pick a dumb person.
You wouldn't pick up a kind of rotten apple because you can tell visually. There are visual triggers. God, I'm going back to the Bible. But there are visual cues that let you know that is going to be bad for your health. I mean, we still gravitate to people that are bad for our kind of health, but in a different way. I think visually, we rely on that. And like, don't judge a book by its cover, but we all spend so much time making sure that our cover art is perfect.
And we've got no substance there. How many times have you seen someone and been like, oh my God, they're so, 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 so beautiful. Like their online presence is so great or whatever. You think they look so pretty and they're on their fucking Instagram, whatever. And you speak to them and think you're a fucking bore.
Mm.
Well, it's like looks aren't everything. Of course, looks aren't everything. The classic quote, like, don't go for looks.
Well, it's not you have to look a certain way.
Well, I think for women it is.
I think the most important thing about looks is being happy with a look that works for you.
I think that men can lean into being a certain type. With men, it's like, okay, you can kind of lean into the more like ratty look, classic, I'm just going for my type. Or you can lean into, for example, your type, the more a Seth Rogen-y look. Or you can lean into kind of like a preppy look, or a jock look, or a nerdy look, or whatever. Like, you can even be like a thing a woman would never get away with.
A Fred and George look.
Like a Jack Black look, sort of like that's fucking hot. But if a woman is overweight, then she's...
A kooky, crazy look.
Yeah, exactly. Men can lean into different things.
A Noel Fielding look.
God, Noel Fielding, my original crush. Men can fit into little pools of attractiveness, and women just have a blanket thing of like, you need to be thin, white, feminine, and then you're hot. Or then you're attractive and sort of I'd bring you home to the parents sort of thing.
Agreed. But I also think it's about power too. And it's about societal structures. Because if I see Jack Black walking down the street and I don't hear him tell me a joke and I don't know that he's a Hollywood movie star...
It's like, you've never heard of Jack Black?
I am not. I was watching him walk down the street thinking, fucking hell, get yourself over here. You are so stunning. Like, I'm not thinking that's an attractive guy. I'm thinking that's an overweight piece of shit, because we've been indoctrinated into fat phobia and...
Not to Jack Black, the star of School of Rock.
No, you get what I mean. Like,
Dewey Finn.
We have internalized all of these things that whilst beauty is in the eye of the beholder, if I sit with Jack Black for a drink and he makes me laugh and I get to know all of his kind of accolades. Society has told me that if you look a certain way, you have more worth, and if you look a certain way, you are worthless. And that leans into all of those constructs, whiteness and white supremacy, the kind of diet industry and fat phobia. All of these things work together.
To create an image.
Yeah, to give us kind of the tools to judge and be judged.
Also to fit yourself, to fit other people into like, okay, so they fit into there, but they've got that redeeming quality in society standards. Okay, but they fit there and blah, blah, blah. And you weigh them up with all these kind of statistics. You just kind of give yourself points and take away points and give yourself some kind of rating of where you fit. And therefore the people, say you come up with a number, oh yeah, okay, I'm a 7.5. I should be therefore looking at parallel 7.5s, and that will be where I fit in society.
But then you meet a 7.5 and they think you're a 2. Because it all comes back to being in the eye of the beholder, which is just the bit that makes no sense. It's like, we've got all of these things working together to kind of categorize people hot or not.
Hot or not.
But ultimately, you could, what is it? You could be the juiciest peach in the world and someone could hate and be allergic to peaches. Like, yeah. You could be so perfect, but you won't be right for someone. This doesn't mean you're not the most worthy peach.
It's fucking true.
And you are the most worthy peach. You're the forbidden fruit. Everyone just wants to pick you off and eat you up.
So do you think this has got worse since like social media? the idea of you are very aware of how you represent in our reality.
Yes. I think performativity and like the awareness of performance within kind of just like civilians rather than kind of Hollywood or like super Western kind of ideals. I think now you have like 8-year-olds on TikTok being so much more conscious about their worth, about their kind of rating all through social media. Someone wrote in a message, let me find it, and I thought it was quite fascinating. They said, I have a private Instagram on which I post nothing, so I look cool.
Yeah, I saw this about someone saying that they have like an art Instagram as well, and like the different layers of curation that we have.
Yeah, it, kind of Intric Mirror, which is by... everyone's thinking of the cover and you're probably screaming at me.
Gia Tolentino. Yeah. I said it totally wrong, but Joey Tribbiani.
I probably said it wrong too. She talks about, in that book, they talk a lot about to participate online, you have to show up. Within the kind of physical, tangible world, you just walk about and you are perceived. Online, you have to do something. You have to make yourself known.
Yeah. It's active.
And so whilst you and I, Seffi, have been having these conversations since we met and have always had all of the personality traits that people would attribute to us through the artist formerly known as High Priestess and this podcast and everything we do online, we've always been these people in some way. And whilst we evolve, we've always been this way. Now we are understood and perceived in that way because we made a big fucking show of it. We made a song and dance about it. Which is why I always say, don't ask, don't get. Because you could be kind of in your own time looking at Seth Rogen movies. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with Seth Rogen, amazing writer, blah, blah, blah.
This is your life story.
This is me. Just pretty anecdotal here, no, I'm joking.
You could be looking at, I don't know, Ellen interviews with Seth Rogen.
You could be Googling like Seth Rogen topless, for example. No, I'm joking. You could be like a massive like comedy writer fan. You could be big into that world. In your own head, internally and privately, but publicly, you kind of maybe mentioned it to a friend once, and that's all we know. So when kind of the big movie star director comes along and is looking for a comedy writer, nobody asks you because we had no idea, which is why things always come back to appearance, because if you present something, you allow yourself to be chosen, and then you get, now you're writing comedy, great, you got what you wanted, because you asked for it, because you put on a show, because that was your performance.
I think it's about giving yourself that voice. We have been feminists for our entire lives, or I don't know, we've been feminists since we were cognitive of there is a power imbalance in society.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether we had a word for feminism or not. But now we kind of get asked to do interviews about feminism and things like that because we are publicly feminists. But I am no more or less educated or no more or less passionate about this.
Than you guys are.
Or than what I was when I was 11 years old.
Than people you went to school with. Absolutely.
Yeah, but now I didn't, when I was 11 years old, thinking this isn't fucking fair. Why was I just told to take my makeup off at school? Why was some teacher looking at the length of my skirt? I had no one knocking on my door saying, hey, do you want to come and do this? Or like, oh, well, like, what do you think about this?
Yeah,
no one, because I had no audience. No. Obviously. But now we have people and it's like, no, I am no more or less other than the fact that I'm actually just speaking about it.
Yeah, you make yourself an authority figure. I feel like this was the harshest reality I had to learn in life, is no one picks you up and puts you in your dream spot. You have to like scream it and wait until somebody notices.
And even then, the dream spot isn't what you thought it was.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the big lesson, is that when you land there,
on your way to the dream spot, you realize it was your nightmare spot.
Yeah, you land there in the dream spot and you're like, no, like, ooh, I've got to make this, I've got to actually put some fucking, I've got to wallpaper the walls and I've got to put my plants out, I've got to get my crystals out, and then I'm happy with my dream spot.
I have to change the vibe. Yeah.
It's like sometimes the dream spot doesn't look like what you thought the dream spot would look like. We're being very meta.
And people are knocking on the door of your dream spot being like, how did you get here? Even when you're in your dream spot, you're not done. But I thought that person's point was really interesting, of saying that they don't post on their private Instagram to look cool. Like the absence of posting. It's kind of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
I'm familiar.
Cast your mind back.
Here I am in your life. Yes, we have sweet life. Here we go.
Most of the time. cast your minds back. Hopefully you're old enough to do that. I'm sure all of us here know of at least The Suite Life.
Colin Dylan Sprouse.
This particular scene, I'll forgive you if you don't know, was, I think, an instance where Maddie, played by the one and only Ashley Tisdale, my queen.
I once wrote a biography about her in primary school. In year six, we had to write a biography about someone, and I chose Ashley Tisdale.
I would have honestly loved you, because I went around saying, have you heard the song Suddenly by Ashley Tisdale?
I haven't even heard of that.
Obsessed with her.
I just loved Maddie. I loved her like tie that was like a loose tie. Oh my god, I was obsessed.
A preppy vibe. You're quite loving the preppy vibes these days. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's because Erin's wearing like a sweater vest, and I said Emma Chamberlain would wear that.
Yeah, Emma Chamberlain would wear that. There was a particular scene where I think Maddie liked a boy, and there was some sort of event going on Friday night, for example, in the hotel.
Classic Tipton.
Where else? Nowhere else I'd rather be.
Honestly, Mr. Mosby's there. Yeah.
Mentally, I am here, the Tipton Hotel.
Yeah.
London Tipton says to her, don't go on Friday. I probably have got this wrong, but she's like, don't go. If you don't go, it's fine. And Maddie was like, I have to go because I have to fucking be there and like make my move or like get him to like me. And London Tipton says, if you don't go, he'll leave you wondering, where is she?
Yeah, I love that.
And that kind of seems like this person's philosophy of
playing hard to get.
Kind of Katy Perry again is quite warning, old reference incoming. But kind of, it's someone going absence before, it's kind of us disappearing before the drop of a new era.
It was our rebrand strategy.
It's kind of, you leave people hanging. It's like, oh, where have they gone? I wonder what they're up to.
But I don't think it always works.
No, and I think it does the opposite most of the time.
I think you need to have a balance between presence and absence, because you need to build up such a presence. So Maddie needed to be very present in his life, then drop. Because I feel like London may have been sabotaging that.
I think she was too. Yeah, yeah.
May have been the saboteur.
Classic London.
I would say that would be probably classic of the show. Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
That she would be the saboteur and then London appears at the event and like flirts with him. I can see it now.
Or just kind of dumb girl London, because women can't be kind of rich and glamorous and intelligent at the same time.
I remember once seeing a thing about Suite Life being like, Suite Life was the only show where the Asian was the dumb one and the blonde one was the smart one. And it's like,
oh God.
Sorry, the fact that there are two women and one of them has to be fucking thick is the problem. It's not a progressive idea that an Asian woman is stupid.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. And they were like, oh my God, it's the only show where the blonde girl was dumb. It's like, oh yeah, because blonde women, they're so oppressed.
Oh my God, everyone's like clapping the writers. Seth Rogen's like working his arm off to write his Suite Life. if you have no audience, if it's an imagined audience vibe and you disappear, no one's saying, where have you gone? If it's a real audience vibe, people are fully aware of you dropping out, and maybe they want to know why.
Well, it's like if Kim Kardashian logged off the internet or archived all her posts, it would be, whoa, big news.
That would break the internet rather than putting kind of a champagne glass on her bum.
That's why that would be so impactful, because there's a huge balance between presence and absence, in that she was so big and then there's suddenly an absence, rather than Maddie, who has never really spoken to this guy before around the Tipton. She served him once at a little sweet shop, and then I don't know if it's really a sweet shop, a little kiosk,
yeah,
and then doesn't show up to the event. It's like, okay, so you can have your little Instagram, you can have your Instagram that has what, 500 followers, and then you can have your one that you never post on. There's no balance between presence and absence. So actually, the only, you've got an imagined audience, you're only doing this for yourself, like no one is watching. So you're just torturing yourself.
Yeah, no one's waiting for your comeback.
You're playing hard to get. Like, yeah, I don't post on my Instagram, but it's like, no one's watching.
We're not speaking directly to you, by the way, this poor person. We're like roasting their social media usage.
Oh, not at all. I'm talking to us as well. Like,
yeah, I'm talking directly to you.
I'm speaking directly to Seffy and Wig.
To you and you only.
Yeah, it's like this idea that people are like waiting for your next move. They're ever so anticipating your next move on social media.
Also, quite funny that we're saying this. We haven't yet done the, this is obviously pre-recorded, we have no idea how the relaunch quote unquote is gonna go. Maybe there is no audience after all.
Yeah,
it was all an imagined audience.
I wouldn't put it past us that we imagined the whole thing. So one, I think maybe our last question, not question, but last thing that someone wrote us, I wanted to pick this one because I just think we can't be thinking like this, and we're gonna make you feel good, and we've all thought like this. Well, it's just bad. So they said, sometimes I think about how short life is and how I can't spend my life being ugly in capital letters and with loads of exclamation marks. And we just want to say, this is bullshit.
I just want to say, go back and listen to our old season. Listen to the glow up episode.
Yeah, totally. But it's just so sad that that would be one of your internalized beliefs, that you are ugly. Enough to write that in on, like, so what are your thoughts about appearances? You are not ugly. I looked at your profile. You're not ugly, for starters.
Imagine you went, I looked at your profile. You are ugly. It's kind of, you do have to say that. I do get where you're coming from, actually. So maybe.
You have got quite a lot to worry about.
I'm speaking to everyone else but you.
Maybe there are some things you could do.
We can work on it.
Absolutely not. The thing that strikes me whenever we record these and whenever we get the answers through are just the differences. And I've said this before with what is being discussed on podcasts that are run by men and the topics that are being discussed by podcasts that's run by women. And I always use fucking PewDiePie. I literally don't know if he has a podcast. I literally have never seen a PewDiePie bit of content.
I don't think he's been making content for like 2 years. He's just been sat rolling around with his money.
Old news,
no. He's definitely making content, but he's just the target of today. Yeah.
Just the pinnacle of like male podcast. I don't know if he has a podcast.
The pinnacle of male podcast is someone without a podcast. Just a male, really. That was kind of the criteria.
Okay, we're gonna go for Joe Rogan. We're gonna go for Joe Rogan because we know he has a podcast.
Yeah, he's kind of the pinnacle, right?
He's the pinnacle of, to be honest, he's the pinnacle of podcasts.
He's kind of the pinnacle of males.
Yeah, of patriarchal male.
Everywhere I look, this man's stinking penis in my face.
Get away, yeah. His listeners are no way writing and going, Joe, I just sometimes think about how short life is because I think I'm ugly. There's no fucking way. And the fact that they have not been programmed to think that, and it's like, it's not the fact that she wrote this, it's the fact that every woman is there sitting like, how can I improve myself, how can I be better, how can I be more, and at the same time less, and like fit in with the male gaze. It makes me sick to my very stomach.
Yeah,
to my stum.
Yeah, honestly, the stums are turning nationwide.
Sick to my stum.
I like to think this person was joking.
Of course they were, yeah.
Or being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but yeah, it wasn't a cry for help and we're like blasting them on the first episode back. We're like, did you miss us? We fucking hate you, blah, blah, blah.
You need us because I think you're pretty and I'll tell you it and everyone else tell you you're ugly. No.
Yeah, no, so fucking true.
It stands out like a sore thumb in that all of the messages are from girls are very open and vulnerable and like aware of how they exist within the patriarchy, and we just know the messages that are going on a male podcast are not. They're just like, oh, my girlfriend's fucking fat, should I dump her?
Yeah.
We know it.
Just women are aware of how they're managing perceptions and their imagined audience to an insane degree.
To a debilitating degree as well, that it's like it's
crippling.
It stops being productive. One of my new things that I'm starting to ask myself whenever I have like a thought is like, is that thought helpful? Like, is that thought gonna help me be like happy and like a better person or whatever,
enjoy my life more?
Yeah, it's like, oh well, there's a difference between, oh yeah, that thought is actually productive because then it can allow me to like adapt and change all of this stuff and learn, or is that thought just something is like a stick to beat myself with?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's such a difference, and actually they can get quite blurred, especially if you're a fucking like Capricorn bitch like me that's like, work harder, do better.
Yeah. And also kind of, I feel like we have that passing thought, but we forget that it's a passing thought and take it on as our whole identity. Kind of your passing thought was, oh, my friends hate me. And suddenly
that's your identity.
You're going about your day as if you're the most hated person on earth. Yeah, you're having a bleak old day. Take your life back.
Is that what we're doing? Is that the mission of our new brand, is take your fucking life back?
I think that's the mission of my life. So we can use it for the brand.
I'm like, shall we monetize that thought that you just...
I think it is, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Of just take your fucking life back.
Yeah.
We're not living for this bullshit anymore, because has it been working? No, it has not been working.
No.
Are we tough enough? Hell yes, we're tough enough.
Yeah.
That's the motto.
To say I agree would be an understatement. It goes without saying, frankly.
It goes without saying. Oh, isn't that cute? What a great name for a podcast, some may say.
The smirk on my face. Get me out of here. I've honestly got a full-on Harry Styles fan fiction side smirk going on.
Well, I hope everyone's loved it. I'm excited to be back. I really am.
Same. Really, really, really happy to be back.
Although I am nervous. I'm really excited to be back, but there's like a sense of fear in my behind my eyes of like, I hope it went well.
I kind of think we never really left. After all this time, always.
Nice.
Get me out of here, right? That honestly should have gone without saying. See you next time, guys.
See you next time. Bye.
Unless you hated it, then we'll never see you again, and I'm sorry to hear that. Bye.
Unless you were like, they really killed it. That was bad.
Hey. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.